Jesus. We just got to make sure we make it to heaven. We can have a ball down here, but look, I want to party in heaven with you. I don't want to party down here, and then when we go to heaven, we don't make it. No, the goal is for us to make it. Are you with me? And I'm looking forward to us being there together and giving God his glory and praise. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. The title of my message this morning is simply, I am not ashamed, and I can't keep it to myself. And it's part two to that, but part four of my message. And I'm planning on bringing it to the end. Pray for it, brother. Pray for me. Yeah, I know. I'm going to take my time. That's right. You ain't got to worry about that one. But I'm looking forward to sharing, and I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to talking and getting in the word and giving God his glory and praise. Amen. Because I tell you, I want to be known as a praying church. And everything we do is all about God. Are you with me? You know, and part one, I want to read the whole theme of our time here that I start off in part one. I open up reading it every time. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 14. And so the heart of our message come out of this. It says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. My God, my God. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The word translated shame means disgrace or personally humiliated. And Paul made it very clear, I am not ashamed. I'm not humiliated by the gospel. He is saying that our confidence must not be misplaced. We must put our confidence in God and not on school and education or money or cars or wife. It must be placed on God. When you put your confidence in the wrong place, you will be ashamed. You'll be disgraced because it'll crumble and you get discouraged. But God never crumbles. He will never fail you. Do you know that there's only one person or being or God that does not fail you? It's God. Everybody else fail you. I fail, Vanita. I fall short. I'm always fall short because I'm not God. But God never falls short. And because we have God, and when you fall short, you repent. We get grace and mercy. I'm not falling short on purpose, but I'm going to fall short. But you can know that God will never fall short. Anyone that believes in him will never be put to shame. You will never be put to shame. Anyone who believes in him. And that was part one. And then part two, we talked about to live unashamed of the gospel means that we proclaim it. But it also means that we apply it to our lives and show that we believe it. To live unashamed means you got to apply it. We can't say I'm not ashamed, but yet you don't apply the gospel. You're not in the word. You don't apply it to your life. You don't compare your life to Jesus. As Christians, our lives are supposed to be compared to Jesus, not one another. And we're supposed to imitate Christ in each other. Some people get that confused. Thing, like you're supposed to imitate the Christ that you see in me. Because you don't want to just imitate me because I could be doing something wrong. But if you see Christ in me, the things that's like Christ, you can imitate that. Because everything is supposed to be about Christ. It's not about us individually. It's not about me because I'm the preacher. We must carry these convictions. In part two, we also talk about to live unashamed of the gospel means that we, like Paul, allow it to dominate our lives. You know, that our surrounding people and places we live is influenced by the way we live our lives for Christ. That's living unashamed. We've got to gain those convictions. In part three, we talked about the demon-possessed man. That parable was inspiring. The demon-possessed man, that as soon as he saw God, he shouted, oh, have mercy on me, Lord. He fell to his knees and knew who he was getting out that boat. And I challenge us, do we know him? Do we shout to God like that? Those demons knew the Son of Man. And they asked for mercy and grace. Can you imagine demons, all that evil they're doing, as soon as they see God, they're going to cry for mercy. That tells you everything you need to know, that when God says every tongue and every knee will bow down before him, look what the demons did as soon as they saw him. Do you know that everybody on this earth, who even those who don't live the life, who try to skate in and halfway in and play the game, but yet don't live the life because they want to live their life of sin too. So they try to live both life of sin and God at all at once. They're going to bow down and know who God is. And those ones, they won't make it. God, you got to be all in or you're not. We got to be all in. Sometimes our conscience makes us, I know I can't walk away totally because I know who God is, but I ain't ready to give up my life of sin. That will not make it. And that demon-possessed man was humbled. When the demon, he overpowered people. When Jesus brought that demon out of him, it was a miracle. See, God has brought demons out of us. We are miracles. Remember I talked about, we've been miracles. We all got demons. I had the demon of immorality, the demon of lying, the demon of cheating, the demon of stealing. I had all that in me. I had different legions of demons. I probably had a legion in me. And that's why when my friends see me now, I never thought I'd be a preacher. But they can't believe it. I know one of my friends is like, I know the way you used to live your life, but I don't live that way no more. See, that's when we become a miracle to those around us. And they either want to be a part of it or they want to have nothing to do with you. And I had many friends have nothing to do with me because they don't want to live that life. And it's very important. It's very important. It's encouraging to have our teens or our children at church with us because they are pulled by this world, this evil world. They're shown that the world is supposed to be more fun, more exciting. Being a Christian, man, it's too many rules. You know how kids hated rules. I know I hated rules as a child. But rules are good for us, especially godly rules. But they don't want the rules. They want to do whatever they want to do. And it's so funny as parents, we just try to teach you what's right. We're trying to help you not make the wrong mistakes. And you don't have to live out of mistakes. You don't have to have our old consequences. And we're trying our best to help our kids. Even those who don't go to church, try to help their children. But the problem is, what about you? It's hard. You can't see. Your kids see hypocrisy. It's like a man who's living with a woman and tell his son, man, you should be out there sleeping with all them women. And he's looking at dad, but you live with her. What are you saying? It doesn't work. And our world is full of hypocrisy. Even in the church. Ministers are hypocrites. And I'm telling you, so help me God, I shall not be that way. I'd rather die. I don't want to meet God like that. Man, I'd be doomed. And so I know I got to live right. But our world is so full of hypocrisy and ungodliness. And that people are conscious, are seared. They live in a sin like it's no consequences. But there's a consequence. And we got to get serious about this. And we got to let God raise those up who are serious. We must be a light. And it's only going to be a few. You will find churches full of thousands upon thousands of people. And homosexuals singing in front of you. People all in front of you who in front singing and doing things, living in all kind of immorality and adultery. One of my own personal friends, my own friend. I can't even give you his name. My own friend. Sleeping around on his wife. And his wife calls me and says, you need to talk to him. And he throws me out of his house. He will answer to God. And you going around talking about you're a deacon and you're trying to lead people. That's what's going wrong in our churches. But it's no excuse for you. You can't say, I've had people say all the time, I ain't going to church because everybody hypocrites. No, they're not. That's just an excuse for you living your sin. We're not all are not hypocrites. There are a few that love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And will obey the word. And I believe here at the RCC, we are one of the few. And I give God the glory. That's why we lose many. Because I hold the line. And I will hold it on you. In me. I will not sway to the right or to the left. All expect to follow Jesus and live by his words. He is the standard, not me. Now that was my introduction. Let's get in the word. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about it every time I get in the Word. I pray that you can carry some of this excitement, because I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm not ashamed for standing up for Jesus. So let me read a poem to you. If you've been around me long enough these past 6 years, you know I love poems. I love finding things that move my heart. The title of the poem is simply, "I Am Not Ashamed," by Deborah Ann. Lord, I am not ashamed of the hope that lives in me. I wear my faith openly for all the world to see. You ask me to be the light to shine your word upon my path. So I share your truth, knowing at me they'll scorn and laugh. I am not intimidated by the words and thoughts of man. Instead, I rejoice in the knowledge you will finish what you began. You asked me to be the salt, to spread your favor on the earth. So I tell the story on my way of their sin, your life, and new birth. I am not afraid of concern what man may do, for I know that I am yours, and they can't take me from you. You asked me to follow you in my every act and deed. I do so willingly because I know you will help me as I need. I am not beaten, although man may think he's won. For I've seen the crown of victory upon my Lord, the Christ, your Son. You asked me to be faithful. My trust in you remains. I know you will walk with me on the narrowest of these plains. Lord, I am not ashamed, despite how man wants me to feel. The good news is my life, and your love I can't conceal. I am not ashamed. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this become our calling card, that we're no longer ashamed of the gospel to the point that we can't keep it to ourselves. Turn with me to Luke 9, 23. In Luke 9, verse 23. My wife and I was in a store the other day. She was making copies of gifts to some people and of some shakes that we're drinking. And a lady read our copy and said, "Can I join y'all on this?" And we said, "Sure." And we started talking about Jesus, because that's what you need to join us on. We went into talking about Jesus. Right in FedEx copy of San Jose. And we was copying, talking so much, she asked, can I add a copy to your copy? I said, "Sure." So she asked the copy, and we talked so much, she didn't give me any money. She went, "You know, I hadn't paid you for that." I said, "God bless you. Don't want your money. But go online and listen to the message. Get in the Word. Where you go to church, we talked about Jesus." I purposely did not tell her I was the minister. But this is to people's shame. This has happened to me about 3 times. I'm talking to her about Jesus. We sharing. I don't even bring up I'm the minister. Before I walk out the door, she knows what she said to me? "You got to be the minister." That has happened to me over and over again. You know why people say you got to be the minister? Because they think only ministers talk about Jesus. They think only ministers are bold like that, not the members of congregations. That's what our society has created. Amen. I mean, that's happened to me 3 times over the last 2 weeks. "You got to be the minister." What do you mean, "I got to be the minister"? One time I was like, "Lord, I wish I was just a member." Because when I was a member, I shared. What do you mean, "got"? But that's what people think. I pray to God use you in a way that will move people's heart and go, no, I'm just one of the members. I'm a Christian. And that's all we need to be to open our mouth about Jesus. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose it and forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. We must not be ashamed. God says, if you're embarrassed of me and shame me, when I come, I won't even know you. I'll be ashamed of you. You don't want that. And as we read, let's go back to the top. I want you to understand some stuff God's saying to us here. He says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny themselves. He said, first, who wants to be my disciple? So it's a volunteer thing. Whoever wants to be my disciple. He didn't say, all of you, I'm going to make you be my disciple. He said, whoever wants to be. Want is a desire. Do we want to be with Christ? Do we desire to be with Christ? To want and to desire is to will, have in mind, attend, to be resolved, determined, purpose, to wish, to take delight in, have pleasure in, to determine. Do we desire to be with Christ? Do we wish it, take pleasure in it, have in mind, attend, resolve, purpose? Do we desire it? It's got to be our desire. Those are the ones God's looking for. Some of us have passion and desires for other things, school, education, getting married, or money, having a job that pays much money. But when you have desire for these things, these things carry more desire than God, you're in trouble. You won't make it. Again, we put our desires or our misplaced misplace our confidence in all the wrong things. We got to fight to have a relationship with God. We got to desire. And then he says, then you got to want those who want to be my disciples. Then he says, then you got to deny yourself. What is denying yourself? But before I read what deny yourself is, I want to make sure you understand desire. Look at Romans 12:1-2, verse 1 and 2. We're going to come back to that one. Hold your finger in Luke 9. Turn me to Romans 12. Look what Romans 12 says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. My God. See, when you desire God, it's a want, it's a pleasure, it's a determination. You offer yourself up a living sacrifice because it's all about God. Offer yourself up as your body as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This world has a lot of evil patterns. Sunday morning, people play sports now. Sunday morning, they go get their car washed. I tell Vanita this morning, I was riding down, someone say there was a line at 8 o'clock from 8, and by the time we come out there between 8:30 and 9, there's a line already almost all the way around the corner. People line up to go wash their cars on a Sunday morning. They're not lining up to come meet Jesus. They're lining up to wash their cars. It's so insulting. You ride down there, you see people line up just jogging because they want to get in shape. They think more about themselves than God. We must not be that way. We've got to really get this. It's God. We got to sacrifice. It's our way of worship. Getting up in the morning, eager to meet together, pushing through, let nothing hinder you to come worship with God. It's our living sacrifice for God. That's what this is. All kind of stuff going on this morning. The hotel got all kind of crazy stuff going on. Nowhere to park. People, joggers who can't wait to go jogging Sunday morning. Got to go get their jog on. All kind of crazy stuff that has nothing to do with God. We must not go down that path. And we must not let the the world dictate what path we go down. We must dictate it through Christianity and through God. Make wise choices for our family and our children. Make spiritual choices for them. Because as they get older, they're going to become just what you allow them to be or what you have created in your household. You got a household full of excuses about not being with God. That's how they're going to, you're forming them. Unless God sends somebody else to reshape them, they're in trouble. You got to be careful what you teach your household. And believe me, you teach your household more about what you do than what comes out your mouth. I'm telling you. I remember my mom telling me to go to church. I ain't want to go to no church. I remember the joy bus coming around waiting on me. Y'all better get to going. I mean, why y'all waiting at my house? It's driving me crazy. And then don't let my mama be home, because then I'm going to really take my time. Because my mama's home, my mama's going to break out the belt. You got to get out that door. But mama had to work sometime. Tony, you make sure they all get up, go to church. All right. All right, mom. 15 now. She. Okay, go. Bye, mom. I ain't wake nobody up. Man, George Bus coming out and say, because they were little. I said, mama, I can lie. Mama, I couldn't get them out of bed. Oh, yeah, I was sick. That's what I did. I'm just telling you the truth. Man, they come in. Here come the joy bus. And right down there. Bop, bop. The joker was waking me up. I get up there, man. He begins knocking on the door. Nah, 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 nah. I'm like, okay, what's up? I ain't up. Go on, move on. We'll wait. Wait! Oh, Lord. Then I'm thinking, oh, they're going to tell mom on me. Get up, Brittany. Y'all get up. Everybody up. Get up, Vanita. Who else? I'm calling my own family. There's Earl, Portia, and Michael. Where everybody wake up, brush your teeth. I mean, they would get up. What's wrong, Tony? We got to go to church. I thought, why you ain't wake us up? Don't ask me that. We'll talk about that later. Get up. And we get up and go out the door. We get out, and I send them out. Who went out first, Vanita? Well, I'm saying everybody but me. I was last. I tried that. Y'all go and get on the bus. I shut the door and wait. They still sitting there. God, I'm telling you, I would open the door. I was like the world. I open the door, and everybody sitting there waiting for me to come on. I open the door, and I step out, and I just go slow. Okay, the bus still sitting there. I can't believe these people. They still there. Good Lord, let me just go a little slower. They still there. They wouldn't leave. They wouldn't leave. But before God, I'm telling you, I'm glad they didn't leave. It's something about God's spirit, because once I got on that bus and once I got to church, and sometimes I snuck out of church and went down to law school and come back, but sometimes I got the word. Every now and then I got the word. Every now and then. Every now and then I got the word. I would sit behind you. What's your name? Deshaun. As God is my witness. I look at the crowd and go, ooh, they got Deshaun. Ain't nobody behind Deshaun. I go sit directly behind Deshaun. And the preacher start preaching. I ducked down. He couldn't see me. And then I really did this. I'm telling you. And then when they couldn't see me, I get on my knees. And I start crawling out the window. I crawl out the window. We had a back window go up. And then when church is over, I get back. I crawl back in. And I sit behind Deshaun. And they start like, man, that was a great church service. Good Lord, Jesus. That's how deceitful I was. But God had a bigger plan. But then let me tell you what God would do to me every time. I get back on the bus and go home, and somehow the Spirit would hit me. And they start singing songs and moving me, and I'd be trying to be prideful. God opposed the pride. I'd be proud. I ain't going to sing. Oh, that's a good song. I ain't going to sing. I ain't going to do it. Oh, shucks now. Ooh, they rocking the bus on this joker. Dog, I ain't going to. I ride the joy bus. And I think I'm singing. Oh, see. And I ride the joy bus. Deep down in my heart. Oh, I said a deep, deep. I said a down, down. I said a deep down in my. Boy, I just thought, oh. And I ride the joy bus. And I ride. Man, I get all into that thing. I get all into it. I be trying to make the bus turn over. Man, I ride the joy bus. I be, man, the Spirit will just move. Sometimes we just got to get there. You just got to get there. Get up and let's go. Let the Spirit get in you there. Sometimes you just got to get your kids here, even though they want to come. And watch what my God do to them. How many times you go and you ain't feel like being there and you're glad you went? That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit. We got to not allow this world to dictate our lives. Turn back to Luke 9:23. Y'all got me already tired, but I'm finna get my second wind. Singing Joy Bus. Joy Bus will wear you out. Yeah, praise the Lord, sweetie. Then in Luke 9:23, it talks about denying ourselves. And that's kind of what we got to learn how to do. It says, you can take a cross. See, we'll miss so much meat in here. Deny ourselves. What does that mean? To declare fleshly desires as untrue, unacceptable. To refuse to give in to untrue and unacceptable fleshly desires. Deny yourself. Do not give in to the and grant evil in your heart. Do not allow it to get in. To deny yourself. So when I became a Christian, I understood. I had, okay, these are feelings I have to deny. I don't feel like going, but I'm going to go. I don't feel like standing by with this person. I said to somebody yesterday, but it doesn't matter because I love Jesus. God doesn't say that we're going to always feel like doing what's right. But he says we must always deny ourselves. That's Christ. That's what being a Christian is. Man, Satan got a rap on evil. He know evil looks good and feel good at times. But we deny ourselves from it. Then he talked about take up the cross. What is taking up our cross? To die. Jesus died on the cross to die to our sin. We must not allow sin to control us, but instead get rid of it. You don't try to control sin, you get rid of it. Get it out your life. That's what he's talking about. This Luke 9:23-26 is packed with meat of God calling us how to live our lives. We got to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Let me show you. In Matthew 5, 27. Talking about adultery. Listen to how he tells us how to get rid of this sin. You have heard that it was said, you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. We got to get serious about this. Luke 9:23 is packed with how we're supposed to live our lives. You can't, you lazy, get rid of it. God says, man, if your hand can't stop stealing, cut that rascal off and tell him to be gone because you plan on going to heaven. Your eye can't look straight. God said, it's best for you to gouge that thing out where you can't see. Then play with it and go to hell. It is serious, but see, sometimes we take God's sins as a joke or it's not that bad. Or like we can repent at the last minute. Oh man, I'm going over the cliff. Oh, I repent. I love Jesus. It don't work that way. But people want to think they can. When we drive-by shooting, going, we got shot in drive-by shooting. I was sitting there, oh honey, I think we better get baptized. We need Jesus. I think we're going to die today. Here it goes. No, when he's out trying, I don't know why these nuts shooting at us, but hey, duck, hide, do something, but we're all right. Somehow we're going to make it. Because I was secure. I knew where we were going. I knew my kids were going to be taken care of. But one of our passengers, we're going to die! And my wife, that sweetheart, that kind woman God gave me, turned to him and said, be quiet! That dude went, we're going to be all calm down. We're going to be all right. Shoot, I was like, okay. I ain't never heard you talk like that, baby. Hey. I know that's right. Shoot, we in this mama. Where you at now, honey? He right there next to us. Oh, he next to us, baby. Oh, baby, but you got to stay up. Get back up. Where you going? I'm going down. You go up. Oh, whoa, okay. I got you, babe. Pow, 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 pow. He keep missing. Where you at? Right there next to us. He's still shooting. Let's just keep riding. That's all we did. That was it. Shot 13 times in our van. Hit me in my arm, hit my wife in the back, hit me in the leg, hit the other guy in the arm. Police came and all we did was say, hey, man, get us to the hospital. Dude said, why are you so calm? Because I'm alive. What you want me to do, freak out over what? I'm alive, man. Which way you go? Straight. He just kept riding. Just follow the road, follow the interstate. He's down there somewhere. I ain't worried about him. I'm going this way to the hospital. You can go that way. If he get caught, he get caught. He don't. Hey, God got him. I ain't worried about him. He got his time with God. That's my least worry. I tell my family all the time, if one of us go and somebody kill with us, I ain't going to be spending my life. We got to catch him. I'm going, I just want justice. Oh, I know justice. My God is justice. I don't worry about that. I'm going to live my life wondering, and I ain't going to eat and sleep till we catch him. Well, you on your own. I'm a Christian. God got that. You know, man, I can't believe Donald Trump is president. Oh, Lord, oh. But, you know, I ain't worried about no. God got him, too. I ain't bitter. I ain't angry. I ain't upset. I'm just going to love the Lord. And I'm going to pray for my whole government. I don't want nobody to fail. I want everybody to make it. Because if you fail, you're going to be messing with my money. What the world? Man, I want you to fail so I can make less money. Make it pitiful, make it pad on me so you won't get again. Well, look here, you talk crazy. Man, do good, please. Make good decisions. God, give him wisdom, insight, direction. I want him to do good. I ain't mad at nobody. You can't be bitter towards other people. At no point in our lives. How did God tell you love thy enemy? God tell you love your enemy. That's challenging by itself. He's telling you don't hate those around you. That is Satan lies. We are not a Democratic Party or a Republican Party or Independent Party. We are people of God. Those are lies. Dividing America, separating us. No, you do that just by yourself. I'm going to stay close to God. Just give me the Christians. And we'll figure out how to make it by holding each other to Christ. That's what it's all about. If we all function like that, our world be doing very, very well. We need more Christians involved. Not this crazy mess that Satan has created. Even in our government, just divide. The Bible says a house divided shall not stand. They're dividing our country. We're going to fall. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But we will not be divided as a body of Christ. We will not. I love the Jacksonville church. I love all the churches. I pray for churches that as long as they're teaching the word of God, God bless them. Bless them. They got to make it. We live in an evil world. Competing with nobody. The only world competing against is Satan. Trying to snatch souls out of his kingdom and put them in God's kingdom. We must not be ashamed of this. I know that's right. The baby's saying amen. We all better be saying amen. So you heard that one? Amen. Look at Job chapter 11, verse 13. See, go to Job. See, because does it, chapter 11, verse 13, does it describe our heart? When he says gouge out our eye, is that how we are? Are we that serious about sin, or we just take it for granted? We allow ourselves to live in sin. We must not allow that. We must gain deep convictions about this, brothers and sisters. Do not allow ourselves to live in sin. Do not listen to Satan's lies. Job chapter 11 and verse 13. Listen to what Job says here. Job goes all through this stuff. It had been all things going on. Lost his children. Everything's going on in his life. And one of the people that are talking to him says this. In fact, it was Zophar said this to him. Yes, if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that's in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of fault, you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail. An escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying gasp. We shall not be wicked. We shall be men and women of God. We must learn how to deal with the sin in our lives and get rid of it. We must not allow sin to creep in our lives and fester and grow, because it will make us ashamed of the cross. We'd be embarrassed because we know how we live in our lives. We're just ashamed. And so therefore, to be unashamed of God, we got to get rid of the sin that's in our hearts. See, I can see your faces, but I cannot see your heart. Only God sees your heart. And so therefore, it's up to you to deal with the sins of the heart. Don't lie to fester. The Bible teaches us many things. God says when you do right, people will seek favor from you. People know who lives right. Your spirit tells them. They know who to go to pray for. They know who they want praying for them. Remember Rosa Sheridan, one of our Bible talks, one of her coworkers asked her to pray. Came in, she didn't know what it was about. Wanted her to pray for them. They know who's trying to live right. I shared with you in front of my house one morning. I woke up and literally about 5,000, no exaggeration, 5,000 runners was going by. Nonstop, closed my neighborhood. I find out they do it once a year. They ain't tell me that when we was trying to buy the house. We learned this afterwards. I'm saying, I get this every year, 5,000 people come running right by my front door. I couldn't believe it. So I said, I'm going to join them. I ain't running, but I'm going to wave and say hi to you. So I got dressed. My wife said, where you going? I'm going out there. I'm going to be shaking some hands and talking about Jesus. I went out. My neighbors, hey, how you doing? How you doing? He said, man, come join us. No, I'm good right here. Keep running. God bless you. I'm waving and talking to police coming by. Let me go holler at the police officer. How you doing? This is my last year. I'm retiring. Do you know they do this every year? I just learned that. We'll be here every year. Right on my corner. Y'all know my house. They come right on that corner. Come right in front of the house. Shut my whole neighborhood down. And you, while you're in bed, around 7:45, we just heard. I'm like, what in the world? I'm thinking somebody run up on the house, honey. I got up, put my robe on, run into the door. What in the world? Sound like a stampede. Didn't even either. We open the door. Whoosh. I'm like, what? I got to go get dressed, find out what's going on. What in the world is going on up in here? And it was Thanksgiving morning. I said, y'all do this every Thanksgiving? Yes, sir. And one of my neighbors, I've been here 8 years. Man, I'm happy for your 8 years. Is there any way we can get a different route? Thanksgiving morning, stomping by the front door. Are you kidding me? Okay, we're going to do this then. Let's talk about Jesus. So I got dressed, went out there, and ran into a fireman. And I tell you, we got to be who you say you are. I started talking to him. I said, I got somebody, a member of my congregation, is a fireman, Ken Charlie. The guy says, you mean Kenyatta? I said, okay, we go by our professional names at work. My bad, Kenyatta. I said, man, this is his exact word. Man, that guy been inviting me to church for years. I said, I'm his preacher. Why you not coming? And this is no joke. He went, for real? Yes, I am. You live right there? Yep. In fact, hold on. Hey, Ken, guess who I'm sitting here with? I forgot his name, Ken. Yeah, George. He says, oh, my goodness. I said, so if that's not God, so let me explain something to you. If that's not God reaching out to you, I don't know what is. You've been knowing somebody for years, inviting church, you won't come. And then all of a sudden, you're part of a race that go in front of his preacher's house. You think that's a coincidence? I ain't thinking about it like that, sir. Well, you need to start thinking about it like that. Because there's no coincidence. I said, Ken, we're going to keep inviting. Keep loving. Because we are not ashamed. Don't be the one to die in gaps. Don't you know what Romans 6, 23 says? Turn around. Go back with me. It says, listen here. We got the way we live our life says everything. We cannot be ashamed of Christ. While we're here, how we living, what we earning, we're trying to get to heaven, brothers and sisters. But we're not going to get there if you're ashamed. If you go, man, I can't remember last time I invited anybody to church. Man, I don't talk to people about no Jesus. Then what were you converted to? There's something missing. You were converted to Christ or you lied. One or the other. You either was converted to Christ or you lied. When you say Jesus Lord, then you were lying. Because if you was converted to Christ, then you know that then we must not be afraid to talk to people about Christ. Right. See, Romans 6:23 simply says, everybody say it with me. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God says, we've earned, every one of us, including me. You, I'm pointing at you, Royale. You, all of y'all. You, let me make sure I get everybody. You. Everybody look at me. I'll make sure I get you. Yeah, you too. You, all of it. You, all. We've earned death. We've earned to go to hell by the way we lived our lives. Every one of us. But God says, I got a gift for you. Now, a gift is something that you must receive. Like, you got to accept. It's like a present. Like if I go and I got a gift for you, and I'm trying to give you a gift, besides, I don't want your peppermint. I'm just trying to give you a gift. She got a peppermint. No, I don't want the peppermint. You can get that to your daddy or your mama, but me, I just want to give you a gift. So I got a gift. It might be my handkerchief. So, but see, she put her hand out. What's she doing? She's receiving. She's accepting the gift. See, God said, I got a gift for you. You got to accept it. God don't make you take this gift. You can't go, God, God's trying to give you a gift. And you go, but hold on. Wait a minute, Jesus. I got a woman over here. Oh, and by the way, I'm still married and got a few other women too. Okay, that's not accepting the gift. See, accepting the gift saying, Jesus, Lord, and I surrender. And I'm going to obey the word of God. That's the only way you can accept the gift. You can't accept the gift going, wait a minute, I want Jesus. I'm all for having Jesus, but I'm not going to stop doing a few things on the side because nobody's perfect. There's a few things I need to hold on to. It's okay, but can I have that gift? No, it doesn't work that way. You have to surrender all. You got to be all in. And that's what's confusing our society. That's the trick Satan plays. Making that you think you've received something you have not received. Make it think you have something that you do not have. Make you think you are saved when you are not saved. Because you have not obeyed the word of God. You have not practiced. Turn with me to Matthew 7, verse 21. Y'all hear my echo chamber? They rocking, ain't they? They be knowing where I be going. I don't be telling them. Since not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let that not be us. See, the only hope we got to receive God's gift and live the life of Christ. Obey him. That's who in heaven. That's how we're going to make it. We must gain these convictions. I want to close reading through Acts 5, 12 through 42. Turn there with me. I want to show you some people that went through and stood their ground and was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we read through this, we will gain our confidence, say, this is the way I want to live my life from this day forth. Look at the apostles, how they were treated and how they responded, and see how they were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostle healed many, and they got mad and brought them before the Sanhedrin. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Some were afraid to even be around them. They were ashamed, even though they were highly regarded, because they knew what people thought of them. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. God blessed them regardless of the shame of other people was too ashamed to join them. It'd be like we meet for church and people know we're men and women of God, but man, everybody looking, so yeah, ain't going over there. I'm gonna wait till nobody looking. I might go and say hello. But God moved on towards those and still gave them those who was not ashamed. Let's keep reading, verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them. And he passed by. Crowds gathered outside also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Now here come the persecution. Then the high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees, the religious people, were filled with jealousy. Now listen, why were they not filled with joy? You send all these miracles through God. Instead of being happy for them, they were what? But why? Because God wasn't using them. See, we must not be jealous of other churches, other people doing things for God. We should be give God the glory. We don't feel be full of envy and jealousy. I don't care if there's churches with tens of thousands or churches with a few hundred or churches with a few. I just want churches teaching the word of God. And that's it. In verse 18, they arrested the apostles and put them into public jail. Man, they threw them in jail because they were talking about Jesus. Hold your finger there. We're going to do this a couple times. Look at Mark 10, 29, verse 31. They persecuted them. Do you know that God promised we receive persecution? That's what's scary about you say you're a Christian, but yet you'll be afraid that you don't want nobody to talk about you, say that negative about you. But God promised that's going to happen. It's happening in Jesus' day. What makes us any difference? Or any different? Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or feels for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and feel. So we like to read that part because we're receiving all this stuff 100 times. More brothers, more sisters, more homes, more fields. But do you read the last? He said the best for last. You're going to receive this 100 times. What did he say in the end? Look what he says. Look now, eternal life is the last. That's the best. But look what he says. Along with this, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. God says you will receive persecution. So we invite people to church. Some people are going to laugh at us. Some people gonna think bad of us. But it's okay. We have God. We must trust in the Lord. We must not allow persecution to rob us of our blessings. God's trying to bless us with 100 times more, but when persecution comes, we must not quit, fail, and drop and drag our lips and stop talking to people about Jesus. Because then you'll be robbed of your blessings. Don't allow persecution to make you step back. Hey, you are always, I even feel this sometimes. Man, okay, ready to invite this guy. Whew, okay, Lord, give me the boldness. Help me push through this. And when I push through, I'm always giving God a glory. And sometimes you got to trust this. Listen to me now. When you feel the most about not talking about Jesus, there's a nugget there. That's the Spirit telling you to, and Satan trying to pull you back. Because you just might help them find Jesus. You remember that when you feel an opposition of the Spirit saying, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Don't say nothing. Move on. And yet your Spirit saying, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Trust the Spirit. Amen. Know which spirit is good. Be aware. God would never not want you to talk to people about Jesus. So no, that's not the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Go back. To Luke. Where was I? Acts chapter 5. Go back to Acts 5. And I think I'm in verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Brother and sister, I really want us to pay attention to this. They were thrown in jail talking about Jesus. The Spirit came and released them and then told them to do what? Go back to the people who threw you in jail. Go back on the streets where you got in trouble and talk about this new life.
I love this. We need to be talking about the new life God's given us. We all got a new life. You got plenty to talk about. Plenty to share. How long you been married? 19 years, brother. Through God, you got plenty to share about. How long you been married? 15 years. She's still with you. You got plenty to talk about. You got plenty to talk about. You got to give God. We just got to talk about this life God's given us. And it's always new. How long you been married, John? 10 years. You got 5 kids. So you have whatever, 2 years. You got plenty to talk about. You got plenty to talk about. And plenty of children God's going to have you raise up in the Lord. And you got to keep talking. And wait, hey, how long you been a Christian? 2 years. You got so much to talk about. 2 years. But yet you're still standing in what God is doing for you. Willie, how long you been married? 5 years. You got plenty to talk about, brother. Who married you? You got plenty to talk about. We got plenty. Guys, we got a lot to talk about. How long you been a Christian, Alicia? 2 years. You got a lot to talk about. Sonia, how long you been a Christian? 2 years. Mama, how long you been a Christian? Man, it's a 2-year celebration. We need to have a party. Somebody break a cake next week or something. We got plenty to talk about. How long you been married? 21 years to sour. My God, you got plenty to talk about. Plenty. So much to give God glory for. How long you been married, Dan? 25 years. You should be doing a jigaboo down the aisle. We got so much to talk about. How long you been a Christian? 4 months. My God. So much to talk about. Give God glory and praise. How long you been a Christian, Brittany? You're almost 9 years. And you're the preacher's daughter. Girl, you got plenty to talk about. Just talk about the good stuff. Just, you got plenty. She got so much she can tell you. So much. Are you with me? Are you with me, guys? Man, these guys were thrown in jail, were released, and the Spirit told them, go to the streets and tell them about the new life that I've given you. We got to have that Spirit. Are you with me? Oh, my God, I love this stuff. The Word must live within us and dwell in us richly. And we must believe every word of it. In verse 21, at daybreak, they entered the temple courts, and as they had been told and began to teach the people, when the high priest and the associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin. The full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent them to jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail secure locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people again. At that, the captain went with his officer and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Man, they could not believe these people didn't run and go hide. They went right back to the temple court where they got arrested and started teaching the people. They were not ashamed. The apostle was brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. You filled the city. It needs to be said at the RCC. We have filled the city about Jesus because we're not ashamed. We're not better than any other church. We're just a church, River City Christians, that just want to talk about Jesus. A praying church that relies on God. Fill the city with that. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Who are we obeying? Rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. These guys are preaching the word. All I'm doing is reading God's word. God has exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiving their sins. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit in whom God has given to those who obey him. It's very important to understand we have the Holy Spirit. Only those who obey him. He's given it to those who obey him, who are full of the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Oh, guys, I'm coming. We're bringing it to the end. Oh, it's okay. I got another title somewhere. But let me finish this one up. 2 Timothy. Oh, listen to what it says here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Is there anything else to say? Do y'all know God does not give us a spirit of cowardice, timid, and afraid, that we're ashamed of him? That's not the Spirit God gave us. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed. Wow. So do not be ashamed. Wow. Of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. God says, do not be ashamed talking about me. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So do not be ashamed. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts, chapter 5. We must not be ashamed. Are you with me? We're not afraid. I got my teens up here talking about, who's that said that? Oh, that was Patrice, but she's sitting by him. That's why I thought it came from there. Come on now, I'm finna jump right on to verse 38. I want to close with this. Listen to what it says here. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Oh, wait a minute now. Let me back up. I got to read about what he did. Oh, let me go back here. Let me go to 32. We are witness of these things. I got me a little choir going on here. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. They wanted to kill them because they loved Jesus so much. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. When he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in a revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose of activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. If the RCC is not of God, we will fail. But if we are God, you better leave us alone. We must not be afraid. Those who speak against us will be destroyed by God. Because they won't find themselves fighting us. My God will fight our battles. We don't have to. All we got to do is love people. And they slander us, say lies about us. My God will destroy them. They'll get destroyed on earth, or they'll get destroyed when they try to get in heaven. But they will be destroyed. We just got to love those around us. Forgive quickly. Build each other up. Serve. And know we're not perfect. Repent every opportunity to be like Christ. Hold no grudges. Have a soft heart. Be prideful about nothing. And honor God in every opportunity. As I close, I want to read this, verse 40. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. See, a lot of times we read right by flogged. They beat them from talking about Jesus. You go look up flogged, it'll scare you. They beat them because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. They wanted to kill them. But they got persuaded not to, so they beat them. Look at their response. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They ordered them. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Then they told them not to ever use that name again. But the Bible says day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they will never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Day after day, amen, give Jesus praise. Day after day, they would not stop talking about Jesus. They were not ashamed. They beat them. They spat upon them, lied about them, slandered against them, and wanted to kill them. And then was ordered not to ever use that name again. And they went outside dancing. I'm going to this house. You go to the house. Or you won't get beat again. So what? Let's go. They just beat us in the name of Jesus. What an honor. What a badge of honor. That's how they took that. They just beat us in the name of Jesus. We suffered just like Jesus did. But what about us? We get so scared so easy. And ain't nobody going to beat us in this day of age. Not in this country. But in other countries, they do beat you for that.